Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ian Rappaport's appearance here on this Football Friday is brought to you by Wallhour Paint and Design, Benjamin Moore's largest paint dealer in Westchester, Putnam, and Rockland County. Ian, Joe, and Evan, how you doing?
Ian, how are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Well, you know, depends. Our football team stinks, and New York's football has been bad for about 5 years now. So,
right.
You know, what does that have to do with the Mets coming from behind to win it
now? Well, that's right. That's the positive.
You're not confident, are you, Ian, that they're going to make the playoffs?
I'm not. I wouldn't say confident, but I'm at least hopeful. I mean,
hopeful.
They've been fighting, you know. Something.
Well, yesterday
they do fight. They better get a little bit better starting pitching than they've been getting. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to tell me that the starters are going to go two innings and two innings or whatever it was, and
right.
You know they'd still like find a way to win the game, like I will take that all day long.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Well, last week when you were on, I asked you, hey, who's got a better chance to make the playoffs, the Jets or the Mets? And, you know, you brought up the Giants. I put out a Twitter poll right after we were done just out of curiosity.
It's not even debatable.
And the Mets won it by a lot.
Uh-oh.
So there's still hope.
Is there any question?
No, you're right. No, I know. I'm just saying. Couple of things. Number one, Allen Robinson. All right, if he's miserable, and Joe and I have talked about this in regards to the Jets, they are bereft of talent at the skill position.
And everybody's hurt. And the guys that actually are there don't play.
That is true. Is Allen Robinson truly available? Is that something the Bears are going to explore?
As of right now, I do not believe he's available. I mean, anyone theoretically can be available at some point, so I would never rule out a trade. But from my understanding, they want to get something done. They believe he's in their plans, and they're going to keep trying to make it happen. So I don't think trading for Allen Robinson is something that makes sense. And I'll tell you why. First of all, they've already offered him a big deal, and I think they're going to keep offering him big deals. Like, they're going to keep trying to negotiate. So that would make me think that they don't want to trade him. The other thing is, just thinking about it from the Bears' perspective,
right?
You know, for Ryan Pace, the general manager, it's pretty clear this is a season where they have to win. I mean, he's got his franchise quarterback, had to win a battle to be the starter. That's kind of on the brink. You got a head coach of Matt Nagy who's really good. But, again, like, this feels like a big season in Chicago. Even though if they couldn't get something done by the trade deadline, it might make sense to trade him, I still have a hard time seeing them do it because – that's a great way to lose the locker room, kind of like when the Lions did a couple years back with Golden Tate. And,
right.
Like, they need good players because they need to win. So, to me, it doesn't seem like he's really available.
I have one more question about a trade, and I think, Joe, you'll get a kick out of this. There's a fellow who actually used to be on the air in this time slot about a year ago who may be trying to take your job as an NFL newsbreaker because he tweeted out, I hear the Browns, who are clueless, are looking to trade Odell. Okay.
Now he was with this other guy when I was growing up, right? Something dog. I definitely ring the bell.
Okay. Yes. Is there it now? Odell had a nice night last night. I'm sure the fantasy owners are thrilled. But is there any truth to that the Browns are? Well, we know the Browns are clueless. I'll give Mike on that. But are they looking to trade Odell Beckham?
They are not looking to trade Odell Beckham right now. And even the thought of, like, he didn't have a good game week one, had obviously looked better last night. I mean, everything looked better last night. He ran the ball for 200 yards. The whole thing looks better. It would make no sense to me to trade Odell when he's got no value, right? Like, you know, I think when people look back at let's say, like the Giants trade of him. I'm not sure what they thought of the value, but looking back, that seems like they got pretty good value for him.
Yeah.
The Browns would definitely not get that much now. So if no one has ruled out to me, like, hey, Odell's never getting traded. There's just no way. But if they were going to consider anything, his value would have to be higher. Like, you'd have to get more for him than you would get coming off, like, a, you know, three-catch, 30-yard performance. So, like, at the trade deadline, if the Browns are bad, I could see it coming up again, yes. But I don't think it's going to be when his value is at its lowest. That makes no sense.
So, week one, the biggest surprise for you week one was what?
I would say, I don't know if it was a, surprise, but I was struck by how so good the Ravens and Chiefs looked, better than everybody else. I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, that was clearly established themselves as two teams to beat. So here would be my two actual surprises. One, that Tom Brady's team did not look very good. And we spent the whole offseason talking about how great the Bucs were going to be, and they didn't look good. And Brady kind of didn't look great either. And I don't know, you know, sometimes it takes a little while for them to get themselves in gear, but the fact that, you know, he threw a pick six and he just kind of looked uneven, I think that was kind of weird to me. The Patriots looking like the Patriots, not that it was a surprise, but it was definitely noteworthy because all anyone talked about this offseason was basically like writing them off almost. And then they go out and look exactly the same as always, except with a little more running the football from the quarterback position. So that kind of struck me about week one.
You know what I'm curious about? If this guy was a first-round pick and he had made 13 starts, and I'll get to who I'm talking about. The guy had made 13 starts in his career, you know, 7-6 record, not too bad, threw 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, you know, rushed for 250 yards, and he was a first-round pick at 24 years old, we'd say, boy, you got your quarterback.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that he's a sixth-round pick, his team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gardner Minshew, we still talk about, oh, they're tanking for Trevor Lawrence. Is there anything Gardner Minshew can do that's going to change this perception about him, that he's just there until they draft another quarterback?
I am so with you on this, because I remember, and we've talked about this too, like everyone thought the Jaguars were tanking, and I look at their roster, I talk to people who evaluate not the names but their performance, and what people said was like, they are not bad. They're really not. The quarterback could be good. The coaching staff is pretty good. They are fast on defense, even though they don't always know what they're doing. They look like a team that's going to be in every game. And then if the quarterback plays like he did last week, like they got a shot. But everyone talked about them tanking, and they traded all their, you know, traded Calais Campbell and A.J. Boye. To me, the Jaguars look like they're going to be okay. And it is interesting to see how you go from like six-rounder to surprise starter to, okay, this guy's just going to be good every week, right? Like, you know, I always feel like people's previous accomplishments go with them forever. Like, if you're a five-star recruit in high school, you could be bad in college and you still get a shot in the NFL because people remember as a five-star recruit. I feel like for Gardner Minshew, like, it is probably time to stop worrying about where he was drafted and at some point be like, he's a starting quarterback of a team that's not terrible.
I mean, I look at it around here, and I don't mean any disrespect to Daniel Jones, and I do mean a little bit of disrespect to Sam Darnold. Gardner Minshew has been better over the beginning of his career than those two have.
And cheaper.
Yeah, and cheaper. Yeah, and less expectations, obviously, which is the whole point here.
Yeah, although I must say, like, you know, Darnold has been – I'd still like to know what they have in Sam Darnold. Like, I don't even know how you're supposed to tell because he's – you know, throw in a Chris Hogan who was out of the league a month ago, and that's your deep threat. Like, it's the position the Jets are in from a skill position standpoint is very difficult to evaluate Darnold. I actually thought Daniel Jones looked really promising last week. Like, the Steelers are good, and, you know, they lost, and he had the goal line interception. But, like, if I was a Giants person, I would be pretty optimistic about what you saw on the field.
What'd you think? What do you think of the Cardinals, Ian? I mean, they had a big win. They come from behind. They beat the Niners in San Francisco. Kyler Murray looks great. Kingsbury. They got DeAndre Hopkins at a big game. I mean, what about them, Arizona?
I think they're really dangerous. And, you know, Kyler's awesome and fun. And the fact that he, you know, can break everything down by running the ball from the quarterback position is like, you know, that's sort of the ultimate equalizer. You could stop everything. If a quarterback rushes for 100 yards, you're going to lose. So I thought Hopkins, you know, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. The fact that he played like it is nice. Most interesting, well, the quarterback is most interesting, but most important, the Cardinals played defense. And last year, when everyone wanted to run Vance Joseph out of town, they put together a really nice four-game stretch to end the season. He got to keep his job. They looked good against the team that was in the Super Bowl last week. You know, they were sort of – them and the Lions were sort of everyone's darling, you know. But I think the Cardinals really lived up to it, and they'll probably continue to get better.
I don't see how the Lions could ever be anybody's darling. I mean, you know.
All offseason.
Well, as bad as the Jets are, and the Jets are a disgrace, okay. I mean, the Lions, they're the Lions. I mean, we saw it again Sunday. It was a typical Lion loss. And you know what? Here's something else with the Lions, too, and you tell me what you think of this. They are in a situation where they have a franchise quarterback that they're paying gazillions, and what are they? What are they? You can't be in a worse position than that when you got that kind of quarterback. He's supposed to be a franchise guy, and your franchise isn't any good.
Yeah, and, you know, what's frustrating to me is I appreciate and like what the Lions are doing, right? Like, I thought they have built the right way. Their draft picks individually have played well, right? Like, if you look at everyone they've taken the last couple drafts, either they've stayed with the Lions or they've gone elsewhere, like Graham Glasgow, and got paid a ton of money, right? A'shaun Robinson got paid a ton. I mean, they've had a lot of draft picks get paid. And I believe this year, similar to late last year, Matt Patricia really has the locker room believing in him. All of that, I believe, is true. However, when you see the same performance on the field in the fourth quarter, it's a little bit frustrating because like it looked like so many of their other games. And yes, DeAndre Swift had the ball in his hands, should have caught it, they should have won. But they've been to that point before when they should have whatever. So I think it needs to come fast in Detroit, I will say that.
It better. I mean, it doesn't help also when after the game, when he's questioned, I think, fairly calling defensively, he says, well, I dialed up the greatest play call in the history of football. So, which no Lion fan gives a rat's patoot about.
Right.
Because
no, but
it happened
it's
to
also,
them.
I mean, it's true. I know it's true, but you're right. Like, that is a fact, but that was also, like, several years ago and for a different team. So, like, that does not make anybody feel better.
No,
that.
Absolutely. What's the status of Michael Thomas? Is he going to play on Monday night? What's the deal?
Doesn't look good. Was not at practice yesterday. Was not at practice today. And, you know, from what I was told, it is a multi-week injury. And it's a high ankle sprain, so those are generally 4 to 6. Mm. And so if it was like most other players, I'd say tune in week 7 after the bye and he'd be fine. He is crazy in a good way and will try to get on the field. Like, I could see the coaches putting him on IR to protect him and make sure he doesn't play the next 3 games. It hasn't happened yet, but I could definitely see that.
Has he ever missed a game? I mean, if he did, it's probably his rookie season. Like, it seems like he's out there every single week, Mike, and he's the best receiver in football. I mean, at least statistically, he's been the last 2 years.
I don't know if he's missed a game, but I just know, I don't actually think so either, but I just know when he deals with injuries, you know, you, like when you're me and you talk to people close to these players and you try to figure out who's going where, and all that, Michael Thomas basically does not address his injuries. I'm fine. Tells everyone he's fine. So trying to actually figure out what's going on with him is extremely difficult.
If you're an Eagle fan, we're talking to Ian Rappaport, football with him. If you're an Eagle fan, should you start to be concerned about what you have in Carson Wentz?
I think they have a good quarterback. Now, the fact that the Lions lost 2 starters, basically, you know, 1 Pro Bowler and 1 potential future left tackle, like, that doesn't help. I think what they have is a good quarterback. what you thought you had 2 years ago, or whenever that was, 3 years ago, I guess, before he tore his ACL, you thought you had a rock star, a MVP quarterback, right? So either, and he's, right, he's taken a lot. He's had a bunch of injuries. He's had a back. He's had a knee. He is maybe not scrambling around like he did, and he's also holding the ball a lot. So he got sacked a lot, you know? So I think they know they have a good quarterback. What you'd like to know is, did you have the franchise superstar that you thought? And if you're going to pay him $32 million a year, then he needs to carry you when the offensive line is not great. Like, and there's time. I mean, nothing's done. I'm just saying, like, quarterbacks need to get you through games like last week when you don't have a great line, you're playing one of the worst teams in the NFL. That is, for the Eagles' prospects, I would say a little troubling right now, just being honest.
Well, hopefully when we talk to you next Friday, the Mets are still mathematically alive for a playoff spot.
And
that's
what will
the
be a major weekend. It'll be when they play the Nationals next weekend, right?
Yep. Hopefully it matters.
Yeah.
Yes,
Let's go Mets. I'm optimistic. Let's
God
make it
bless
happen.
You. God bless.
Glad you are. Thank you, Ian. We appreciate
See you, Ian.
It.
Awesome. Talk to you next week, guys.
Ian Rappaport, you can follow him at Rapsheet.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.